Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is the A.G. Wells Show, and this is your host, A.G. Wells. And as always, I am very excited to be back on the air. It's actually been a long time since the A.G. Wells Show has been back on the air, but I'm very excited tonight to be back on and just to share and just to talk about, you know, the goodness of God and just to share with the listeners. I have some folks here that have been listening to the A.G. Wells a long time, and I know a lot of you have been reaching out to me, asking me when we'll be doing it again. Originally, we started this back in 2010, and so we've been doing it for a while, but we were about on a year and a half, almost two-year hiatus. So what I've been doing is sharing a lot of the older shows on social media from years back in 2013, 2012, 2011. So I've been sharing those a lot, but I'm definitely excited to be back and be live on the air. Again, the A.G. Wells Show, it's amazing tonight. So many things to talk about, but definitely want to narrow it down because we're going to get back to what we were doing by having the topics every night and discussing the topic. Eventually, what we'll do is we will begin to evolve on the A.G. Wells Show where we will continue to do this where we have topics and we'll go over those bullet points. And then eventually we will get to inviting, you know, guests on so that they can talk and we'll discuss issues and some of their testimonies so that they can encourage some of the listeners as well. But that's something that we'll be doing as the year progresses. But for tonight, it's the A.G. Wells Show back live on the air. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. Tonight's topic, what we'll be discussing tonight is the blessing of obscurity. We'll be talking about that, the blessing of obscurity. And we'll be looking at some key points tonight, three key points actually, about the purpose of, or the blessing of being humble, the blessing of being hidden, and also the blessing of being healed. So we're going to talk about that, humbling ourselves when we're hidden and when we're healed. Why is it important? Those three things are important while we're in obscurity. So we'll talk about that. But what I want to do before we begin, as always with the A.G. Wells Show, when we begin, we always start out with prayer. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, if you would, bow your heads, listener. Then after that, we'll go ahead and get started. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to your throne of grace this evening, thanking you, God, for your goodness and your tender mercy. Pray, God, that you would bless this show this evening, God. Thank you, Father, for blessing us, for prospering us, for keeping us. And, Lord, I pray for every listener tonight, those that have been listening over the years, and even those that are tuning in or listening for the first time, God, I pray, God, that you would bless them, that you would touch their hearts, God. They may hear you through this broadcast this evening, God. And I just pray for that one person, Lord, that two people, three people that may be listening tonight, that may be going through a difficult situation, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would meet all of their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We thank you tonight, God. And, Lord, I decrease so that you might increase. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you again so much for tuning in to the A.G. Wells Show. Again, this is your host, A.G. Wells. Tonight's topic, again, is the blessing of obscurity. And that's what we're going to talk about. Three important points in the blessing of obscurity. Again, why is it important for us to be humble when we're in obscurity? Why is it important for us to be hidden when we're in obscurity? And why is it important for us to be healed while we're in obscurity? So we'll talk about those things. First thing that I want to do is definitely give some shout-outs to some of the listeners tonight. First of all, definitely got to give a shout-out to all my friends and family in South Florida. Want to give a big shout-out to all my friends and family in Pompano Beach, Florida. Everyone that may be listening tonight, God bless you. All my friends in Deerfield Beach, Florida as well, God bless you. Thank you so much for listening in tonight. All my friends in Miami-Dade County, God bless you and thank you so much tonight. West Palm Beach, Orlando, Florida, Jacksonville, thank you so much for listening in tonight. God bless you. Everyone throughout my home state of Florida, for those of you that don't know, my family and I recently transitioned from Florida to Georgia. So I'm actually a Georgian now, still a Floridian at heart, but I'm in Georgia now. So really excited about being in a new state. Been here for just about 8 months, and it's been a blessing, or 7 months, I should say. It's been a blessing, and God is good. So let's go ahead and begin and looking at our topic tonight. So our topic again tonight is the blessing of obscurity, right? And so we know just from looking at that word what obscurity means. So we know that, for instance, obscurity means to be hidden in itself. That's what it means. It means Being in obscurity means when you are, no one knows who you are, no one knows your name, right? It's very important. There's phases that we go through, right? So there's obscurity and there's also notoriety. Next week's show, we're going to talk about notoriety and how do we handle, right, when we begin to get to that place of notoriety, when folks do know who we are, when we've done things and we've invested time in obscurity, and then God allows us to move to the place of notoriety. How do we handle that? But first, we're going to, again, talk about obscurity and the blessing of it. So you would think that there wouldn't be a blessing in obscurity because during the times of obscurity, nobody knows who you are. I mean, that's just being real. During those times, you're not popular, right? Nobody knows your gifts, your talents, what you offer, what you bring to the table. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean, when we mention that, it's not referencing the individuals that are in your specific circle, right? Because people that you work with that are in your family may know your gifting, may know your talent, but it just may be on a local level where you may not have had the opportunity or gotten to the place of notoriety yet. So during those obscure times or obscurity, it's real important when God, where we allow God, I should say, to build our character, that we learn a lot about ourselves during those times. So let's look at that. The first thing that I want to talk about, though, in obscurity is being humble. What does it mean to be humble? Because a lot of times I think when we talk about humble, humility, we kind of get it mixed up a little bit. But the first thing that I wanted to do before we even go into the word humble, what it means, is a scripture. A scripture that comes to mind is 1 Peter 5:6. 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season," or in due time. So that's very important. I'm just going to read that again. So again, this is the first bullet point under or in the blessing of obscurity. And again, it's humble, right? We're going to talk about what it means to be humble. But that scripture, the first scripture is 1 Peter 5:6, where it says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." 1 Peter 5:6. I want to read that one more time, because one thing about scripture, what we want to do, you get so much out of scripture when you read them, but it's a read the scriptures, study the word, definitely get a lot out of it. But when you read it and it makes that application to our heart, that's when the change comes. So again, 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." So what does that mean when we look at that, when we read that, the first thing that stands out is do. What does that mean, right? We understand when we hear the word do, the first thing that comes to mind when I read that scripture, I thought about a mother that comes full term, right, after she has carried a child for 9 months. There's a due date. There's a due time of delivery. But in this particular context, do, it means rightful. It means proper. It means fitting, right? So again, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, at the rightful time, at the proper time, at the fitting time. So that's what it means, due season, that due time, right? We know fruit well, right? In my home state, Florida, it's all about oranges, right? And I've seen many, many orange trees, but what's interesting, when an orange tree, when it's not the season for them, they're not orange, they're green, right? But it doesn't mean that the green orange is not an orange. It just means that it's not the season for it to become orange, for it to be pulled so that it can begin to be or made edible for those individuals that want to partake of them, right? So a green orange may be an orange, but it's not ready to be consumed by anyone because it's not ready, right? So it's a due time. It's a specific time. It's a rightful time. It's a proper time. It's a fitting time when God is going to do what he wants, what he's going to do for you. So we have to humble ourselves. We're going to talk about that. Again, we're going to talk about that. So these things tie into us being humble. So not only that, but he says that he will exalt you. God will exalt you in due time. So what does it mean to exalt? It means to raise in rank. It means to honor. It means to raise in power, raise in character, raise in quality. It means to elevate. So again, God will exalt you in due time when you humble yourself, right? So just to sum that up, again, 1 Peter 5:6, we read that scripture, but if we summed it all up, in due time, God will exalt you when you humble yourself, right? So that's conditioned, or if you humble yourself. So from a conditioned standpoint, we won't see the manifestation or this exaltation that's in the scriptures that Peter is mentioning if we don't do the first part of it, right? A lot of people want the exaltation or want to be exalted. A lot of people want to be raised up in rank, raised up in honor, raised up in power, character, quality, to be elevated, but lots of them are not willing to do the first part of that, right? So everyone wants that due time or for that breakthrough to happen in due season, but it's very important, or the critical point there is to humble ourselves. So there's a scripture in Psalms 35:13 that says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. I'm sorry, that's actually James 4:10. I do apologize. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So again, there's that word again, humble, right? Humble. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. It goes right back to what we were saying in 1 Peter 5 and 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So God is about lifting you up. God wants to lift you up, listener. He wants you to be higher. He wants you to be exalted. He wants you to be promoted. But one of the things that's very important, not just for you, but for me as well, we have to humble ourselves. So, again, Psalms 35:13, it says, this is David saying, I humbled myself with fasting. So that's one of the things. We're going to talk about that. But David said that. David said, I humbled myself. Now, one of the things that gets misquoted a lot is folks pray sometimes, and they say, God, humble me. Humble me, God. And so our prayer is not scriptural when we do that, because God's reply in that scenario would be, is always, humble yourself, right? Because, again, we see that very clearly in the scripture, but sometimes in prayers, and I've even been to some places and even read some things where folks ask God to humble them, but God is saying, humble yourself. Right? So again, those three scriptures that are really important, we see what God will do when we humble ourselves in 1 Peter 5:6. We know that in James 4:10, again, James is telling us what God will do when we humble ourselves, James 4:10. And again, David is saying in Psalms 35:13, the key portion there, it's not a matter of God humbling us, it's we have to humble ourselves. And one of the ways we do that is through fasting, right? So again, notice that in these two scriptures that we just mentioned, James 4:10, Psalms 35:13, humbling ourselves is a responsibility placed on us, right? It is not a responsibility that we can give to God. That's what I was saying earlier. So this is our responsibility. This is not God's responsibility to humble us. So we have to humble ourselves. And again, one of those ways we humble ourselves is through fasting. Now, fasting is revealed in the Bible to be a practical, tangible way that we can humble ourselves. Fasting was the way David humbled himself before God. And so, again, we saw that in Psalms 35:13. So that's very important. So, again, just to touch on that, because that's actually the first bullet point, humble. We have to humble ourselves, right? And so we know how to humble ourselves, because we just said it. It's something in Psalms 35:13 that David says, I humble myself with fasting and prayer, right? I look to God. I humble myself with fasting. I need you, God. It's not about me. It's not about my agenda. It's not about my abilities or my ambitions. One time when I was pursuing some things and I was just believing God for a lot of things, started our business out, one day the Holy Spirit challenged me and he asked me a question. He said, he told me something. He said, don't allow your ambitions to get ahead of my vision for your life. Because sometimes what we can do, we can be wanting to do so many things and getting ahead of God, so to speak. And God maybe definitely wants good things for us, right? We know he has good plans for our life, but what we have to make sure that we do is that we stay humble. We let the Lord lead us, right? So we humble ourselves. We let God lead us. We let him lead the way. We let him speak to our spirit about what it is that we we need to do. We have to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, because when we walk in the Spirit, that's when we hear God. That's when we know where it is that God wants us to be. And so we just have to make sure that we humble ourselves. And when we humble ourselves, there's a promise in the Word of God that we just saw. I'm going to just go back for a minute before I go to the next bullet point. Bullet point is 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And we say that due means rightful, proper, fitting, right? So God will exalt you at the rightful time, the proper time, the fitting time. And something I want to say real quickly about due season: when it's time for a mother to give birth to that child, can't nothing on earth stop it. When that time comes, for the due time comes, the rightful time, the proper time, the fitting time, that baby is coming. Amen. And so I just wanted to say that, to try to give an analogy so that we can understand that what God has for you is for you. Can't no devil in hell stop what God has for you. And I just want to encourage someone tonight. I believe it. I just feel in my heart that someone's listening tonight that's waiting for God. You've humbled yourself. You've been fasting. You've been praying. You've read your word. God had you listen to this tonight so I can tell you that your appointed time has come. The rightful time has come. The proper time has come. The fitting time has come. And God is getting ready to exalt you, listener. I don't know who it is that I'm speaking to, but there's just somebody listening tonight that's in that place. You know, you fasted, you've prayed, you've waited, but I came tonight just to encourage you and tell you that now is the rightful time, now is the proper time, now is the fitting time. God is getting ready to do some amazing things in your life. Just hold on a little while longer, because help is on the way. And so also we said exalt, right? Because exalt is in that scripture too, or in that passage. Exalt means to raise in rank, to raise in honor, power, character, quality, to elevate. So that's something else that God is going to do when we humble ourselves, right? So James 4:10, again, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And David said again in Psalms 35:13, I humbled myself with fasting. Again, James 4:10, James says, "When humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up." When you humble yourself, not only will God do the rightful thing in due season, not only will he exalt you, but he's going to lift you up when we humble ourselves. So that's very important. So what I want to do now is go ahead and move to the next bullet point. The next bullet point that we're going to discuss is hidden, right? So Colossians chapter 3, verses 1-4 is a passage that I meditated on when I thought about that specific bullet point. One thing about that bullet point, hidden, right? Let's just read that. We'll talk about the word hidden in a minute. But Colossians 3:1-4 says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." So that's an amazing passage there, but it says there that we are hidden in Christ, right? Amen. So we're hidden in him. And one thing that I thought about when I meditated on that particular bullet point, hidden, again, one of the bullet points under the blessings of obscurity, is I thought about this container that my wife has here in our home. It's a transparent container that we put money in. And so we put money in that container, we put a top on it, we seal the top, we put it away. But what's interesting, when I take the container down and I look in the container, I can see through the container at the money that we just put in there. So let's just say if I put a $10 bill in that container, I can see the $10 bill, but I'm not seeing the $10 bill as I did before I put it in there. Now I'm seeing it through the container. So now the $10 bill, even though I can see it, I'm seeing it through the eyes of the container. So no longer is it a $10 bill in Antonio's hand. Now it's a $10 bill that's in a container, that's hidden in the container. We can cover it up. We can put newspaper on it or whatever we want to do. But this particular container is transparent. So even though I can see it, it's still hidden. And that's the amazing thing about the people of God. We are hidden in Christ Jesus. It's such a beautiful thing just to think about that. But when we are in obscurity, right, when God has us where we haven't been sent forth, maybe no one knows about your ministry, maybe you don't have a CD out, but you can sing like a bird, you're gifted, you're anointed, you haven't done anything, you've done a lot of things secretly, but you haven't gotten to that place of notoriety. But it's a good thing to be hidden, amen, because God is preparing you for notoriety. So don't rush yourself out of this process, because eventually that jar that I talked about that I put that $10 in, it not only is $10 in there, but there's coins, there's a lot of other stuff in there. So eventually when it gets to a point where it's no more room in there, I have to release the top off of it and take the things out of it and put it in a different place, right? So it'll transition from there into an account in another place. So that's a lifting up, if you will. So being hidden is a good thing, because when you're hidden, folks no longer see you. They'll see the Christ in you, and they would have to acknowledge the fact that you're looking more like Jesus and less like yourself. So a blessing of being hidden is folks no longer see Joe, folks no longer see Tom, folks no longer see Mary, they see Jesus instead of the person. And so even though I can still see the $10 that is in that transparent jar, I have to go to the jar to get the money, so I no longer see it as I used to. I see it in a different light now because it's hidden. Amen. So it's a blessing to be hidden, right? So I no longer do what I used to do because I'm hidden in him. I no longer have the desires to do what I used to do before I came to Christ because I'm hidden in him. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so it's important to know that when you're in obscurity, so that the things that I used to do don't impact me anymore. I don't run like I used to run, run to the places, amen, that I used to go to, because I'm hidden in him, and I desire his word. So we desire his word. And just like before, they would go into the tabernacle that Moses built. There was a basin at the beginning of it, right, before they walked through, before they went into the inner court, and then the outer court, I should say, and then the inner court and the holies of holies. Before all that, there was a basin there where you had to wash your face and wash your hands before you entered in, but you can see yourself. You can see yourself there, and so that's what happens when we're hidden in obscurity. God wants you to find out stuff about you, amen, and find out stuff about him. So the relationship is being developed. You're growing in him. You're learning stuff about him. You're learning stuff about yourself that you hadn't even known, or you wouldn't have known, I should say, if you were not hidden. So being hidden in Christ is very important. So that's the hidden portion of it. And lastly, it's healed. Amen. So humble ourselves. We're hidden and now healed. Exodus 15:26 says, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord God, the Lord that healeth thee. Right? That's Exodus 15:26. Psalms 103:1-5, David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from the destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So healed. Amen. Healed is powerful. It's the last thing I want to talk about. So why is healing important when you're in obscurity? So again, remember, obscurity means nobody knows who you are. You haven't gone to notoriety yet. You haven't gone on that big stage yet, right? So folks may know who you are, again, in obscurity, but those are the folks that are in your circle, right, in your sphere of influence, if you will. So this is like your coworkers. This is like your immediate family, you know, your cousin and them, your grandma and them, your mama and them, all right, and all those folks that know you from high school. See, they know you, right? But these individuals that know you in obscurity can identify that something happened in you, right? And they may know some bad stuff about you or some of the stuff that you used to do, and in some cases, some of the stuff you may still be doing, and God is working on you. But one thing about healing that's very important, though, in healing, when you're in obscurity, you have to allow healing to happen, right? The broken pieces, the pain that you may have went through in high school or college or in a bad relationship or in a bad marriage, whatever it was that you experienced, you have to let God heal you in obscurity. Now, here's one thing that's very important. Why is healing important when you're in obscurity? It's important because you cannot be released to notoriety until you're healed, because what will happen is if you skip this process, this healing process while you're in obscurity, and you begin to rush, if you will, and try to stand up and go to the nations before the healing process has taken place, what will happen then, all of the pain and all of the anger and the things that are unresolved will spew out on the people that you're ministering to. And so that's why it's very important during this time that you allow healing to take place so God can heal you of all those things that you may have been going through, all that brokenness that's going on inside of you. You want God to heal you so when he does take you to notoriety, you'll be releasing healing to the nations opposed to tainting people, right? So like priests, like people. So what's in your spirit spews out onto the people that you minister to. And it's just not church. We're not just talking about being a minister in a church. You can be a leader on your job. You can be a leader in a community. You can be a leader in your family. Whatever it is, or wherever God has you in a leading capacity, when you step into that role, you have to embrace healing during obscurity, because God is trying to get out the things that will impact nations. And so he can't send you forth until you humble yourself, until you understand and wrap your mind around what it means to be hidden in Christ and learn of his word and wash in his word and let the word of God cleanse you, amen, when you're hidden. And then you want him to heal you, all the broken pieces, all the things that you've been through that has caused frustration and pain in your life. You want God to heal you there. You want to confess those things. You want to go to folks and be reconciled to folks that you may have things against in your heart. You may not even realize it, but get on your face before God and cry out to God and say, God, I know you're sending me to the nations, but God, but if there's anything or anybody, God, that I need to be reconciled with, God, reveal them to me so that I can get it right, God, because I know that I can't go before your people. I can't go before the nations until I get this thing right in my heart. Amen. Amen. And so we got about two more minutes, the blessing of obscurity. So again, real quickly, humble yourself. Remember, when you're hidden, because that's what obscurity is about, you want to learn of Christ. He said in Matthew 11:28-29, take his yoke upon you and learn of him, because his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. And not only that, he wants you to be healed so that he can release you to the nations. And next week we'll talk about notoriety and the importance of it. But right now I just want to pray with you. We got about 90 seconds left and the show's going to end. So if you would, listen, just bow your heads and I'll pray with you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I just pray for those listeners tonight that are tuned in tonight and listening to the show. I pray for that individual, God, that may be struggling with healing, that individual that may be struggling with letting go of things that have impacted them from their past. Lord, I pray, God, that you would strengthen them in their spirit, man, that they will be able to go to those individuals, God, that cause pain in their lives, and that they will be reconciled to them, God. And, Lord, as they humble themselves, Lord, show yourself, manifest your glory, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. And as they're hidden, let them embrace that relationship that they have with you and read your word, study your word, Lord, a worker, not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much tonight, listener, for tuning into the A.G. Wells Show. Again, right back, same time, same channel next week. God bless you. He loves you, and I do too. Good night.